You can be seated.
Sorry about that, Megan. I cannot say how encouraged I was at our Amber conference this week. How many of you were able to make it to our Amber conference on the doctrine of Scripture? I can only say that I was glad I wasn't preaching. I was able to hear four great messages by my brothers that I love and trust, all of them. And I was able to sit and be preached to and encouraged and strengthened in my understanding of the authority of Scripture, the necessity of Scripture, the clarity of Scripture, and the sufficiency of Scripture. It was just a wonderful time of fellowship. I want to thank all of those who volunteered in every way, keeping us on track and getting us organized, get everything ready, meeting and greeting, just so many ways that all of you helped as a church. And I know that we were hospitable. And I want to say to you, if you are not a hospitable person, you need to understand how important this is to God. Elders are supposed to prove to be an example to the flock, and it is so important to God that one of the qualifications of an elder is they must be hospitable. And thank you for being a hospitable church. I just want to encourage you. You know who you are. Probably the ones who worked the most were the most in the background, but I am grateful and I thank God for you. God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Do you know this personally? Do you believe this personally? This is the very first sentence of Psalm 46. If you're not there, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles. The power of this statement is that it is given with such confidence and assurance. It's unquestionable. Listen to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm not sure if you need this kind of assurance or encouragement personally this morning, but if you are in a place where today you need to hear the message of this psalm, I pray that it encourages and strengthens your heart like it did mine this week. I know this psalm very well, but this week it just again came alive to me in a fresh way as God used the same psalm to speak to me again, and I pray he'll speak to you. Psalm 46 is the source of Martin Luther's psalm or hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." It was said of Martin Luther that he was grounded in this psalm. It produced such confidence in God in Martin Luther that he would often say, when times of trouble and difficulty came, he would say, "Let us sing the 46th psalm together and let the devil do his worst." Because his confidence was in God. The very first sentence, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I believe this psalm will speak to the hearts of those who have ears to hear by God's Spirit like never before this morning, in this moment. Will you pray with me that it would be so, kind Father? We come with open and eager hearts to hear. We anticipate again that you will speak. We confess that your Bible, your word is given to us in order that we would know you more. And that knowledge would be translated in trust, and you would engage us so that we would walk with you. Like the book of Proverbs, it starts with the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and then very quickly moves to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Father, will you do this in us today as your children? Will you reveal yourself to us as you are, so that we will put our full confidence and trust in you? You are the Lord. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Psalm 46, hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I feel like I don't have to even preach. The Spirit takes his word and brings it to bear on our souls. Verse 1 of this psalm is really the main idea of the psalm. We're given the big idea right at the very start. The psalm starts, often psalms start with crisis or with hardship, and eventually it gets to the place where you find hope in God. But this psalm is different. This psalm starts with this absolute declaration of confidence in God. You see it in verse 1? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The very first line gives us this absolute certainty. For God's people, it is not a question, it's who God is. And the power of this statement is the object of our trust. It is God himself who is our refuge. Not our church, not our faith, not our prayers, not all of our own efforts. No, it's God who is our refuge. And the absolute certainty and the confidence of this psalm is because of who God is. Where do we find our refuge? Refuge is an easy word to understand. It is a safe place to run and hide and to be protected. It's a place where we feel safe and secure. He is God, and there is no other refuge like him. There are many places we run to refuge. We try to find safety. We try to find security. You might find security in your job. You might find security in your family. You might find security even in yourself and your own abilities and skills and all that you can do. You might find security in your home and in your savings. Yet all of these things can be changed in a moment. Our security can be gone in a moment. No, God is our refuge. But he's more than just a place to run and hide. Do you see it in verse 1? He is also our strength. That he is a refuge and a safe place of security that will never let us down, but he gives us strength as we are with him. And then he gives us the reason, because he is a present help in trouble. He's not just present. He's also a help, and it's in trouble, in the very things that we face. This is the thesis statement of this psalm. It is a declaration this morning that however you have come, you can trust God. And the psalm doesn't start with the distress that is coming in this psalm. It starts with God is our refuge and strength and a present, a very present help in trouble. Do you hear this psalm? It's because God is. It's because God is our God. It's because God is our refuge. It's because God is our strength, and God is present in the trouble. God is a present help. You can trust Him. If our security is in anything else besides God, we will be tempted to simply want God to bring back the thing that makes us feel secure again. If your security is in your health and your own ability and the sharpness of your mind, oh Lord, just give me back that thing that is struggling. I want to feel safe again. And you know what it exposes? It exposes the weakness of our faith. Because we might actually be guilty of simply just praying, God, would you fix my problem so I can put my security and my hope and my trust in the wrong thing? No, this psalm is different. This psalm says, no matter what, God is my refuge and strength, and He is a present help in the trouble. He doesn't just remove the trouble. He doesn't just give you back the thing you're trusting in so that you can worship a false idol. Suffering is part of God's plan. And if this is you this morning, this single verse alone, once it's understood and believed, you can stand on it. And we'll raise a confident cry like Luther. Let us sing the 46th psalm together and let the devil do his worst, because God is my refuge and strength. And the devil can't stand in God's presence when He is the Lord. From this very thesis statement in Psalm 46, verse 1, we find three main sections in the psalm. It's easy to divide. You can see the word Selah after verse 3, after verse 7, and then again at the end. We've talked about this before. It's likely a musical notation of some sort, a division in the psalm between verse and chorus, or a note to repeat. Most scholars believe that somehow it's like this stop and pause. There's a shift of ideas here that we should consider. So when you read a psalm and you come across this word, Selah, it's helpful to stop and consider. There are three main stanzas in the psalm. The very first section, I believe, is really verse 2 and 3. Verse 1 is like this overall big picture. It's the thesis statement. This is what it is. It's who God is in relation to us. And then He gives us three stanzas. The first one, in verse 2 and 3, begins with this marking feature of this psalm about everything is moving. Do you see it in verse 2 and 3? The earth gives way. The mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. The waters are roaring and foaming, and the mountains are trembling and shaking at its swelling. I was on a missions trip when I was in Bible school in 1986 in Lima, Peru. And I experienced an earthquake for the very first time in my life. I'm just a prairie boy from Saskatchewan. I didn't know what to expect. We're in the missionary's house. Everything on the wall starts shaking. The dishes on the table start shaking. We freaked out. We ran outside. And I can't even describe what happened to me. I thought, oh, I'll just get out of the house because the house is going to collapse. But if you've ever been in an earthquake, you're standing on solid ground, only it's not solid. We were in the backyard of the missionary's home, and the ground was shaking. The very thing that I expect to be secure is shaking. This is the key to understanding this psalm. The great fixed points of the world are shaking and moving. The things we expect to be secure are quaking and trembling. And fear is imminent. Listen to these words again. And the description is really horrifying. It is Hebrew poetry. And he's describing in a powerful way, the earth gives way. The mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. They come crashing down into the sea. And the picture is so powerful that as the mountains crash into the ocean, the waters are roaring and foaming. You're supposed to feel this. And then what's left, the mountains are trembling and swelling. The earth is moving. All the things, the great fixed points of the world, are shaking and moving. It's cataclysmic. It's a total meltdown of the world. And then we come to the end of verse 3, and what is our little word? Selah. Stop and consider what you just read. And then we remember, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth gives way, and the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea and roaring and foaming and trembling. Yeah, God is our refuge. How can we not fear? Only if God is our refuge. When our world is falling apart, my dear friends, I want to say this to you as a pastor who has been with many people when they faced death, when they faced all kinds of struggles with terminal illness, with all kinds of overwhelming sorrow. I have come many times to this psalm. God is present. He is a present help in trouble. But it's only for those who find their refuge in God. When God is their strength, though your world is falling apart, I don't know how you've come this morning, but even this week, I felt a little bit of a tremor in my soul. I heard about a 5-year-old child who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And then I'm sure many of you heard of the little 2-year-old who went missing from a campsite, only later to be found, their dead body, they had drowned nearby. And what happened to me is I immediately thought of my own grandkids, my own family. These families, the world is shaking. It is falling apart. Our world is filled with this kind of sorrow. Maybe you are here this morning and you have private pain that nobody knows about. You're smiling on the outside, but inside you've already feel it. There's these little tremors in your soul. You know what I'm talking about, and it's growing. Maybe for the first time in your life, you're coming to grips with abuse that happened many years ago. Maybe you're living with abuse. Maybe it's loneliness and the fear of rejection. Maybe it's overwhelming fear. It's addiction. It's a longing for a child that was lost or never came. Maybe it's the shame of a sin in your past or even a current struggle that you can't seem to find forgiveness. You know what I'm talking about. There is a shaking in your soul. And this psalm powerfully describes that when everything is moving, God is our refuge and strength, and he is present in our trouble. we come to the second section in the psalm. Do you see it in verse 4 to 7? We find the absolute opposite. It's calm. It's a quiet scene, and it kind of jars your senses as you read it. It's like going in a movie where everything is just crashing, moving, and then it goes instantly silent. The silence screams out against us, out to us against the backdrop of verse 3. This slow, silent stream. It's not even a river. It's a stream that moves through this passage. Look what it says in verse 4 to 6. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation or the dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Does it not strike you? The psalm is all about movement. In the place where God lives, the habitation, the place where God is, there is security. It is not moved. I think we're supposed to see this. And we're supposed to feel it and understand it as it is written in this Hebrew poetry of such absolute opposites, the insecurity of our world. The very things that we thought were secure are unstable. And the greatest fixed points in our world are shaking. But where God is security. In fact, the same word is used. When it talks about God is not moved, it's the same word that is describing that the mountains are trembling and shaking. If we could all read Hebrew, it would probably make more sense to us. No, God is not trembling and shaking. And what we're meant to see in this contrast is that the things we expect to be our security are not. And then we come to verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. And it just ties us right back to the very first verse. He is a very present help in trouble. And we could stop there and we could rest there here in this psalm. But I think it's important for us to go on before we stop at the Selah, because there's more that's going to help us when we get to the end of verse 7 to see this. It actually then describes that it's the nations who are raging. In verse 6, it's the kingdoms that are tottering, and it uses the exact same word again. It's the mountains that tremble and quake. The nations are doing it now. The conclusion we're supposed to come to in the psalm is that nations can't stand before God. God only has to speak. Look at the end of verse 6. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Not only is God secure, not only is God unmoved, but God is portrayed in this psalm as the one who has ultimate, absolute, sovereign power over his world. With only the breath of his mouth, all the ideology and the messaging of our society and all the world will melt before Almighty God. Who do we think we are? Trying to control God? Trying to make demands of God? It is a flagrant disrespect for God's absolute authority over his creation. Obviously, the roaring and the quaking and the tottering of man is against God, and a messaging of the kingdoms are against God, that he speaks and they melt. They are powerless. It's a picture of all those who oppose God. They stand with all their strength, and all God does is breathe, and the earth melts. This poem in Psalm 46 is meant to give us such a clear picture of who God is. He is a mighty fortress. That's verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's very personal. It's first of all, it's absolute certainty. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But it's us. He's with us. It's personal. He is our fortress. Do you know this? The other thing that really struck me, even yesterday, the description of the Lord of hosts is this picture of the host of angels and all the host of heaven. It's a picture of the captain of the army of God. And I was struck by the memory of last week's baptism. Do you remember? God's army delivers us. This psalm is amazing. No wonder Luther could say, let us sing the 46th psalm and let the devil do his worst because God is on the throne. And where you feel fear that our world is spinning out of control and there is no hope, remember this psalm. It is not a question. It's whether you believe it or not. This is who God is. He is the Lord of hosts with us. And why the God of Jacob? Remember Jacob coming back to his brother, so incredibly fearful. He sends his servants and his wife and his children, all of them with gifts. And then he wrestles with God. And so many have misunderstood that passage as if somehow he won God over and wrestled with God. The only thing he got from God was a twisted hip by his wrestling. No, God had promised Jacob before he left that he would bring him back to this place. The God of Jacob is our fortress because he is a God who has made a covenant promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God did it. Jacob is not our example. It's not just saying, oh, Jacob is our example. No, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you see it? And the promise is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. The prophecy of Isaiah. A child will be born to a virgin. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And for those who knew this psalm, and read the words of Matthew chapter 1, when the angel said his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And at the end of that verse, it says, he is Emmanuel, God with us. All of a sudden, the Lord God Almighty, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is our fortress, our secure salvation. When all is moving, he is unmoved. He is unshakable. And our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on Christ, the solid rock. The third stanza and this wonderful conclusion repeats the exact same words in verse 11 as verse 7. I think it's an expansion on what he's just said. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But there's something different in this third stanza. It is an invitation to come and to know God. It's to consider his works. Listen to verse 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he's brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. To consider who God is, the depth of spiritual maturity is to move past a small view of God. It is a false view of God to consider that he is only there at my beck and call. When people are big and God is small, our will becomes the primary focus. We elevate it as if it is free, and we wrongly have placed our will over God's will. That is wild and untamable and absolute power in authority and perfect holiness. God is sovereign. Come, behold him. Look past the terrifying events of our world and the fear-inducing realities of our loss of hope for the future. And the tremors of your soul. And behold God as he is, sovereign and glorious. No matter the powerless schemes of humanity to discredit God and flaunt human effort, God is over all. And the invitation is to come and behold his works. And what is amazing in verse 8 and 9 is a bit of a surprise. It's both destroying and restoring. In verse 8, there's desolation on the earth. But he also brings peace. He makes wars to cease. He destroys the power of mankind and the tools of war. It's a picture of ultimate peace in God himself. And there may even be an allusion to Christ himself, who is our peace in Ephesians 2. It's a picture of the uselessness and the powerlessness of all the nations raging against God. And God puts them all down. When your world is falling apart, then look past your world and behold the works of the Lord. I pray that in this very next second, in this exact moment, the Holy Spirit will speak. I pray that every arrogant, self-produced heart in this room we'll hear God speak. And we will bend our knee and we will submit to him and his will. Because there is a change in verse 10 in this psalm. In verse 10, God speaks. And we already know in this psalm that God just raises his voice, and what happens in verse 6? The entire earth melts. The invitation to come and behold the work of God and all the descriptions that he does, both in destruction and restoration, is interrupted by the very voice of God. Do you hear it? Be still. Why does that matter in this psalm? Because everything in this psalm is moving. I don't know what you are going through. But whatever is shaking in the tremors in your soul, whatever struggle with sin and addiction, whatever is going on in your life, I pray that your arrogant heart would be humbled. That you would hear the very voice of God. Be still. And you might say that's not possible. Well, it's only possible because it's based on knowledge of who God is. That's why this psalm is revealing to us who God is. Be still and know that I am God. I don't know if you noticed it, but in all three stanzas, it mentions the earth. The earth gives way in verse 2. The earth melts in verse 6. The Lord brings desolation on the earth, and he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. But here at the very end of the psalm, there's something else that happens on earth. As God works, we will be still. As God works, we will know that he is God. And as God works, we will worship him as God. My dear friends, in this world you will have trouble. But do not fear, I've overcome the world. Let us often sing Psalm 46 together. And let it end in worship because we exalt him on the earth. Why? Because from the very beginning to the very end of this psalm is a declaration who God is. Verse 1, hear it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Will you pray with me? Lord, where our hearts have been proud, mine included, where I've trusted my own ability, where I've been stressed and worried about things as if by one act of worry or anxiety, I could add even 1 hour to my life, as if somehow I can somehow fix these things around me. Let us take refuge in you, O Lord, who alone is our fortress. I pray that we would often run to this psalm, that we would minister to others who are struggling and simply say, hear the word of the Lord. I pray that we would preach it to our own souls. And for those who are here this morning, broken and overwhelmed with the struggle of sin and the struggles of just normal life, would you in your mercy and your kindness reveal this truth that they can stand secure, that our hope is in Christ alone, whether by life or death. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Emmanuel, God is with us. I invite you to stand as we close our service.